Yeah. Awesome, right? I'm loving it. Can you believe it's already here? That week that we lost, you know, because Thanksgiving came a week later. Oh, my soul. I mean, it's like it was been like fast forward from Thanksgiving on. And here we are, and we're finally like, okay, it's Christmas. Amen. We're going to have an opening word of prayer, and then we're going to start the music, okay, for you? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together as a body of believers and family and friends and visitors tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought these out this evening. And, Lord, we pray that this would be a worshipful time, a joyful time, a time of celebration. And, Lord, when we get to the observance of the Lord's Supper, it'll just be an incredible time of remembrance. Lord, we celebrate your birth, but we preach about your death. And we're so thankful that you died on the cross for our sins. And we're so thankful that your blood that you shed on Calvary's cross removes the penalty of that sin, my sinful life, and allows me to have a right relationship with you, my Heavenly Father, and allows me to spend all eternity in heaven with you one day. Thank you, Lord, for those that have gone on before us, those that showed us the way. And Lord, may we continue to get the gospel message out with everything that we do and say, how we sing, how we talk to folks. Lord, just help us. Help us live the gospel 24/7. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand. We're going to do some singing, or sing a song here right quick.
We may not have big screens, so if you'll turn over to page 250 in your hymnals, we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. We may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. You may be seated. We're going to get on down the road here with the Advent wreath. And an Advent wreath, as we have done the last several years, symbolizes what? It symbolizes God's never-ending love, and its five candles shed light on the meaning of Christmas. Traditionally, we have three purple candles representing hope, peace, and love, and a pink candle representing joy. The four candles surround a white candle in the center, which represents Christ. church families and individual families light the four outside candles on the four Sundays preceding Christmas, and then the Christ candle on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. The purpose of the Advent wreath is to build a sense of holy expectation for what's to come, friends. I want to tell you, as we celebrate the first Advent, it is a foreshadowing of the second Advent. Jesus is coming back. Amen? So tonight we'll light all five candles in their usual sequence. The first one is hope. It is a purple candle. Let me see if I can get that guy to go tonight. Oh, yeah. The lighter works. That's always a good sign, right? The first one off the bat. A purple. All right. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, a passage to consider as we think about the purple candle of hope. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. He was Christ who came as a baby to a world in need of hope. Second candle, another purple, is the candle of peace. The candle of peace. Boy, we need some peace in the world. Amen? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." We honor the Prince of Peace here this evening. Thirdly, we move on. We go to that beautiful pink candle up front there. Oh, that's the candle of what? The candle of joy. Come on, little guy, go. Go. Let me give you a little more. All right, there we go. That's that pink candle of joy. John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you." This is Jesus talking to his disciples in the Gospel of John 15, 11. "These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy," his joy, Jesus' joy, "so that my joy may be in you." Listen to that verse. "So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." Right? Praise God for his joy. We celebrate tonight the Christ who brings us this joy. Finally, we have this fourth candle here, another purple. Another purple. Come on. All right, I think we're going there. Fourth candle. That is that fourth candle, that fourth purple. Stay lit. You can do it. I'm believing. That is the candle of love, right? John chapter 15, 9. Here we are in the Gospel of John again. "Just as the Father has loved me," Jesus talking to his disciples again, "just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Will you abide in his love? Will you do it, church? Amen? We thank God for his unconditional love this Christmas. Now, you notice there's one candle left. That's the Christ candle. And after we observe the Lord's Supper tonight and we get the candles out and we circle around, we'll light that Christ candle as we look forward at foreshadowing of his second coming. Amen? Let's sing some more songs tonight. Thank you, brothers. Oh, come on. Yep.
If you'll turn over to page 251, we'll sing "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," the Midnight Clear. "It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled. And still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors flame, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. And, okay, and then if you'll turn over to page 258, we'll sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Very good. If you have a copy of God's Word, you're already standing, so this will make it real easy. If you'll reach and get your Bible, a copy of God's Word, or if you have the Bible on your phone or however you get access to the Word of God, I'm in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll look at verses 1 through 6 tonight as we stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Now, my kids are going to go, "That is so gross," but I got to get this out of my mouth. Oh, and what's even worse, I'll probably dig this out and put it back in my mouth. It's a clean Kleenex. Easy. It's not been in anybody's nose or mouth. I just picked it up right out of the box. It'll be okay. All right. I mean, I would probably, if it fell on the floor, 5-second rule, I'd probably get it. All right. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 1. Have you found that this evening in God's Word? Amen. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 6. You say, well, Pastor, are you going to read the Christmas story? Friend, I'm not going to steal your thunder. That's your deal. You read the Christmas story. Read it tonight or read it in the morning before those packages, before they go diving for the packages, you know, Santa's, you know, right? Oh, hold on now. We got to read the Christmas story. Got to read the Christmas story. They will love you for that Christmas story, right? They will be listening to the Christmas story. Trust me. All right? Luke 2. I'll give you the book and the chapter. Luke 2. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together around your word, that we can again celebrate your first advent. But Lord, we're seeking to carry this gospel message of you taking care of my sin and the sins of these people. We're seeking to carry that gospel message outside of this room tonight and into the different family gatherings that we're going to find ourselves in. And Lord, we're going to come across a family member or a friend or a friend of a friend or a cousin from another mother, from a brother down here, wherever. But Lord, we're going to come across somebody that's lost. And Lord, I pray that we will seize the opportunity during this time of where people will think about Christ. If only for a minute, we will take this opportunity and share with them what Christ means to us, how he came and died for our sin so that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to preach a 30-minute message. We don't have to browbeat them with the Bible. We just need to get the gospel out there to them and let the Holy Spirit work on them and then pray. Pray, pray, pray that someone else would sow a seed. Someone else would pray for them. Circumstances would come their way. Pray that they get saved. Thank you, Lord, that you're still saved. Thank you that you saved us. And thank you we can celebrate that gift of salvation tonight in the birth of Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray and God's people said. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. I can't help it. It's Tuesday. Wednesday, we normally have a Bible study and prayer time down here, and I just got to get a little preach on. Amen? I'll be beside myself if I come up Sunday having not preached or Bible studied on Wednesday. So I promise you it's short. I promise you I seek to get you out of here by what, 6 o'clock? Is that the deal? That's what I told everybody anyway. Amen? So I'll try to be a man of my word and try to stand by that. We're talking tonight about a root out of dry ground, a root out of dry ground, or parched ground, as the passage reads in my New American Standard Translation. One of the amazing facts in the Christmas saga, as we kick this all off, is that Jesus survived the attempts of Herod to kill him. I mean, he was really a hunted individual. Jesus was a wanted man. But what is really amazing is the impact of his life, of his death, and his resurrection. Isaiah spoke prophetically 700 years earlier from Christ's coming. Isaiah spoke prophetically of this when he said, "For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground." That dry, parched ground has to do with the humble circumstances of his birth, has to do with his growth and development, has to do with his nationality as a Jew, has to do with the politics of his day. Rome owned it all and controlled everything. Has to do with the disciples whom he chose and trained. He didn't choose brain surgeons. He didn't choose the sharpest knives out of the drawer. He chose people that were sometimes not even teachable, but he chose them nonetheless. Yet the root, Jesus, the root, the gospel that he brought, the root sprang up then and continues, the root continues to spring up and thrive in the hardest and driest of soil. Now, I can look at Hallmark and see the same-sex commercials, and I can go to Netflix and I can see that temptation where they portray Jesus as a drunk and a homosexual. I can see that and get real cynical and put the blinders on and be judgmental, but I'm not going to do that. Because the root still springs up in dry, parched ground. See, we're talking about our sinful world today. Our culture is dry and barren. Just look at the world of entertainment. I just gave you two examples. Or the ugly side of the internet. Or the content of much of today's music or television. Or the curriculum of a typical secular university. And you will find dry, barren, parched soil. However, we must remember that the living Christ, he takes root and he thrives in the dry soil of an ungodly culture, praise the Lord. Amen? This is still the church age. This is still the age of grace. And salvation is still open to all who will receive it. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Since the birth of our Savior and His subsequent perfect life, this truth of Him seeking has always been true. And I'll just take you through a little bit of history, of world history. First of all, remember, against the backdrop of the barren, parched Middle Ages, out of that, the Reformation was born. And the Reformers, they planted the rediscovered gospel of grace. The living Christ sprang up as a vibrant plant out of those Middle Ages. Some of you older folks, or more mature folks, you will remember the story of David Wilkerson. Some of you are thinking David Wilkerson. Google him when you get out of here. David Wilkerson. He proclaimed the gospel in the barren territory of the New York City gang known as the Egyptian Kings. Is that beginning to bring it back for you? Only to see many lives changed by the living Christ who sprang up in the most unlikely places. David Wilkerson was also the founder of Teen Challenge, which is another parched earth place where Christ springs up in the recovery of lives that have been damaged and sometimes almost destroyed by addiction. Be reminded tonight of the tremendous conversions in the most unlikely countries and cultures today. For example, we can think and talk about communist China, how this country was enslaved for decades by oppressive Marxism during the last century. Then late in the 20th century, it became obvious that the living Christ had taken root and flourished there. See, if the church is faithful to give, if the church is faithful to go, if the church is faithful to sow the seed, no matter what the culture or circumstances, then the Spirit of God will convict lost sinners to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, what, Pastor, in 30 days? No. Sometimes in 10 years. Sometimes in 15 years. But the Word of God is always true. It never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. Amen? The application is clear to me as I think about this tonight. If the seed is planted, if the seed of the gospel is watered, even in the driest and hardest of soils, meaning difficult and even hostile cultures, then in His sovereign timing, God is sovereign, He is providential, He's in control, Christ does spring up and He grows and He changes lives and He changes culture for God's glory and the salvation of the lost. As we think about this parched dry ground, we're talking about our sinful world today, but we're also talking about our places of ministry and service. You say, you're talking about the church? No, I'm talking about your home. I'm talking about where you work. I'm talking about where you go to school. I'm talking about the neighborhood you live in. See, we're talking about where you live, work, go to school. We're talking about places of ministry and service. If you're saved today, He's put you here. You're still here today if you're saved for ministry and service. And there are certain areas of our own society, of our own culture, our own immediate world, where the soil is unusually hard and dry. And the resistance to the gospel is strong. And sometimes we are met with even hostility. And then when you consider the drift of the modern church, the modern church tends to drift, has been drifting, getting away from the gospel, getting away from the historic gospel message, starting ministries and doing things that don't really further the gospel ministry. Yet the history of the church is filled with stories of the living Christ springing up in the midst of sleepy, drifting, dying churches. Amen? Just think of families that appear hopeless. Perhaps it's a husband who is consumed with destructive behavior to himself and his marriage. Or another marriage, the marriage is in disarray. Or another home, the children are in rebellion. Well, what do we do? Well, what do we say? Well, friend, we have eyes of faith. We have eyes of faith because eyes of faith can see the living Christ taking root even in places like these. See, if you stick with the gospel stuff, if you stick with it long enough, then the truth of the testimonies will begin to come out of what the gospel is doing, of what the gospel has done, what the gospel has accomplished. And you can compare that, to other areas or sources of people trying to get help. And there's no comparison. There's no comparison. When the living Christ is embraced, when relationships with our God get right, then relationships horizontally with one another have a tendency of getting healed up. Amen? As we think about this parched dry ground, we're talking about our sinful world today, and we're certainly talking about our places of ministry and service today, but I'll make it even more personal for you tonight. Perhaps we're talking about your heart, your individual heart. You remember the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. My time is limited tonight. I don't have time to read it. But in that parable, there is only one type of soil. One type of soil out of the four that produces a harvest from the seed that is planted. In other words, only one type of those four soils that truly opens the door of his or her heart to Christ and thus lives and grows in the gospel. Remember the four types of soil. If you don't, I'll try to catch you up real quick. There is the no soil. I kind of call it no soil. That's the little bit of dirt by the road. That's where the birds eat up the seed. Then there's the really thin soil. It's the rocky soil. It can't support the growth. And the growth of the gospel doesn't make it. And then there's the soil with thorns and thistles that choke the new growth of the seed out, and the gospel doesn't make there. But then there is the good soil, that one out of four good soil that produces what the Word of God calls a harvest. You say, Pastor, I think I'm the soil by the road, or Pastor, I think I'm the the rocky thin soil. Or, Pastor, I think I'm the soil with all the thistles and the thorns. Listen to me, you don't have to be any of that soil. You can be the good soil tonight. You say, well, Pastor, I want to be the good soil. I want to be the good soil, but Pastor, I feel so parched. I feel so dry. Let me tell you this evening, listen to me. Jesus was born into this world of a virgin that you might have the gospel seed planted in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes along and convicts you of your sin and makes preparation in your heart so that your heart is ready. It's good and ready. In other words, your soil, your good soil, it gets watered. It gets watered, right? Y'all remember the drought back here some years ago, don't you? Oh, man. How we wanted the water. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, it says, sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain, R-A-I-N, rain righteousness on you. Friend, you very well may be that good soil tonight, and you just need a little rain. I want to tell you, in the midst of this sanctuary, in the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, your good soil can receive the rain it needs tonight to receive that very gospel. So this is the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas, no circumstance, no matter how hopeless, is beyond the reach of the one who takes root in the most barren and driest places imaginable. For the person who offers Christ the soil of their barren, broken, and hopeless circumstances, he can do what he has done through the ages. He can grow up as a tender plant and overshadow their sin and overshadow their poor life choices and even overshadow their difficult circumstances with His grace, with His forgiveness, with His mercy, and with His love. Amen? I seek to transition tonight to Matthew chapter 26. If you want to get there or put your Bible marker there for just a moment. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26 through 30. That will be our Lord's Supper passage as we prepare for the observance of the Lord's Supper. And let me just say, it is open communion. It's an open Lord's Supper. In other words, if you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're part of the body of believers, then we invite you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us tonight. You say, well, I'm not a member here. Well, that, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to receive the elements tonight. It's open communion. But before we get into the Lord's Supper, we want to have a time of invitation. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we want to have a time for you to respond to the Word of God preached, or perhaps for you to prepare your heart to receive the elements. It's been a busy, crazy time. And perhaps you're not prayed up. Perhaps you've got a few things under the hood that you need to confess, that you need to get out of there before you receive the elements tonight. We're going to have a time for you to do that. You can certainly do it in your seat, or you can certainly come up to the altar and do that. And I will be down front if you want to talk about what it means to have this gospel seed planted in your good soil. I'll be down front if you want to talk about salvation. And we get that taken care of for you right here, right now. Simple, simple gospel message. Amen? We're sinners. We need a Savior. God loved us so much, He sent us one, His only Son. That only Son was born of a virgin. We celebrate His birth tonight. He lived a perfect life. He was a perfect, fitting sacrifice. That's all that could satisfy God the Father, is a perfect sacrifice. a sinless sacrifice. And Jesus went to the cross for me and you. He took our place, died on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life in his blood. And his sacrifice removes the penalty of our sin so that we may spend an eternity and have an open relationship, have a relationship with God the Father through the person Jesus Christ. And basically, you just receive that gift. You receive it. You open the door of your heart. You have to exercise your free will and take Jesus. You can't just know some things about Jesus. You can't just be up on your Bible facts. You got to really swing the door of your heart open and let Jesus come in and be your personal Lord and your personal Savior. You got to get there. You got to get there. Time is running out. How much time do we have? I don't know. We've got about 20 minutes left tonight. But time is running out. He's coming back. He's coming back. When? My lifetime, your lifetime, my kid's lifetime. He's coming back, friend. He came the first time. He's coming back the second time. He said he is. He said he was coming the first time, and he came. He said he's coming back the second time. I'm telling you, he's coming back. You want to be ready. Amen? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have a time of invitation. I'll be down front. You come and pray, or you pray where you're at. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue on. We pray if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that this would be the moment. This would be their time, Lord, to make public, to walk an aisle for you, to take the hand of a preacher, a pastor, a Bible study leader, someone, and just say they need to receive Christ. And then, Lord, what a beautiful moment in time it would be for them to have the plan of salvation quickly explained to them and then allow them to pray to receive Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would come during this time of invitation and that, Lord, we would be able to connect the dots for them. For others, Lord, we need to get our hearts ready, perhaps, to receive the elements tonight. Lord, we don't want to do that with a dirty heart. We don't want to do that with a long sin account. Lord, we want to be clean when we come to the table, as clean as we can. Not perfect. None of us here perfect. None of us here going to be perfect. But Lord, if there's just something glaring in our spirits, in our minds, that we know we need to confess and repent of, Lord, I pray that we would take the time to do that before we receive the elements tonight. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. To thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Brother Ronnie and his team will come at this time. You may be seated. These guys will get ready to pass out these elements to you. They're going to pass them out. And so you be ready to receive them. All right, guys. All right. pass out the bread, that would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Does everybody have an element that wants an element? Everybody got it? Got to get it? All right, very good. Thank you, gentlemen. The word reads here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We think about this bread tonight. We focus on it for just a moment. Again, Jesus' body, perfect sacrifice. These guys at the table, not quite sure what's going on. What is Jesus doing with this Jewish Seder, this Jewish Passover meal? He's definitely making a change. He's definitely switching gears. He's starting a new covenant with them right then and there. We rejoice over his body tonight. Amen?
Amen.
We're thankful for it. And, you know, if I can just say to each and every individual, he loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. I mean, he loves you. You are loved tonight, forever. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll eat. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you what it represents, the body. We praise you tonight. We praise you tonight for coming in a humble obedience, leaving the abode of heaven, taking on human flesh, and living a perfect life. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your body. Thank you, God. We thank you for your Son. Thank you, person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for knitting us all together. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Let's eat. All right, guys, juice. Thank you. Amen. As we think about the cup tonight, verse 27 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Glory, hallelujah, amen. Amen. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Basically what he was doing, and those that have been through a Lord's Supper communion service, you know where pastor's going with this, but basically what he was doing, when two families would come together for an arranged marriage, they would exchange a glass of wine between them. And that was the bond, that was the seal. I'm going to give this little boy, and this family over here is going to give this little girl, and they don't know it yet, but they're going to be husband and wife here in about 10 or 12 years, and we're entering into a covenant, an agreement. And can you imagine how dumbfounded these disciples were when Jesus basically brings out that imagery, and he basically proposes to them. Jesus is the groom, and we, the church, are the bride. Amen. And he says in this passage, I'm not going to drink it until what? He's basically saying until the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's where this whole thing's pointing to, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when you're there, all the millions of aborted babies are going to be there with glorified bodies. And all of those that were lame on earth are going to be there with whole glorified bodies. And those that were slow of mind are going to be there, sharp as a tack. And you're going to know each other. I preached a message here on that, I don't know, a couple months ago. You're going to know one another in heaven, right? You're going to know Jesus, and you're going to know me, right? So we better get along here because we're going to spend a long time together. Amen. Amen? But man, friend, when you think about the cup, what a glorious thing. His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Every drop that dripped in the dirt. Every drop that ran down his back. Every drop that came off his hands and feet, out of his side. Everywhere, every drop. Precious, precious. Covers you, covers me. So when God looks down at us today, he doesn't see my sin, and he doesn't see your sin. He sees his Son in us, because we're part of the new covenant. Amen? We're part of the bride. We'll rejoice in that tonight. And think about that in the morning when you're opening those gifts. Those gifts under the tree represent the greatest gift of all, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll drink. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God the Father. We thank you for this plan of redemption, and we thank you for this whole story that we have from Genesis to Revelation that spells out and just speaks to your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness to us, to humanity. Thank you, Lord, that we made the choice, that we submitted to the Holy Spirit, that we chose salvation. Thank you for that. Thank you that your blood covers the penalty of our sin. We praise you and we thank you for that tonight. We look forward to that day when we can drink this cup with you at that marriage supper of the Lamb. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Let's drink. Well, it is now candle time. So, let's get a box, and if you will, right? All right, let's hand those bad boys out. Amen? If you guys would line up along the sides and in the front, it's really a beautiful picture when we're all standing in one unison line. Stand if you can. If you can't stand, we'll make a line to you. If you have flammable clothing on, please be careful. Don't catch your neighbor on fire. Be vigilant with your flame. Amen? Miss Karen, we got another one almost in the books, girl. Amen? Amen. We're here at that time where we light the last candle. It's Christmas Eve. We've got the white candle before us within the Advent wreath. The Word of God reads in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." John chapter 8, verse 12 says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." We celebrate the Christ who is the light of the world. I take Christ's candle, and this year I think I'm going to light it off of the joy candle. Amen? Because I got some joy in my heart, the joy of Jesus, and you guys let me preach on Christmas Eve. That's a great Christmas present. You bet, brother. Amen. All right. We got them all lit? I don't see anybody on fire yet. We do have a fire extinguisher around here somewhere. Going to be in that room. Going to have one in the back. All right. You never know. You get Baptists together and all this fire, I'll tell them what can happen. All right. Huh? I'm good, brother. I'm good. I'm going to look at all the candles you guys got. I lit my candle. All right? Amen? Miss Karen, where'd you go? Oh, you're right there. Jeremiah, where you at? You ready, brother? Kick it off, son.
Silent night, holy night, all is come. All is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly sleep in heavenly peace.
One more time, brother.
Silent night, holy night, all is come, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Hey, we love you. Blow those things out, but don't wax your neighbor. Careful, careful. All right. Thank y'all. Y'all be safe. Please watch the roads. Texas is the second worst state in the nation for DUI. They will be lit tonight, I'm telling you. Like you lit that candle, there will be some folks out on the roads. Please be careful. Undivided roads, please watch the oncoming traffic. Okay. Careful, careful, careful. You are dismissed. God bless you.